Welcome to the Vision Church Podcast. We're so thankful that you're taking some time today to listen. We pray that this week's message challenges you to press in deeper with your pursuit of Christ. Our mission at Vision Church is to go and make disciples. You can help us in this mission by rating this podcast and sharing it with the world via social media. We want to reach the lost by raising up the found. Thank you again for tuning in today and enjoy the message.
It's a great honor to be with you guys tonight. Like Pastor Tyson said, my name is Matt Cusack, and I've been here at Vision Church since April. Even during the global pandemic, we tuned in live to the church, to the prayer broadcast, to the services that were going on online. Can I just say that we have an amazing pastor here at Vision Church. Pastors like Pastor Tyson are a dime a dozen. There are not many pastors like this man right here. He's got a heart after God, and he believes in the mission of just the Great Commission, which is to pour out the gospel of Jesus Christ into all the nations. So thank you, Pastor Tyson, for the opportunity. Thank you, Vision Church, for having me tonight. I have a word for you this evening that I believe comes from directly from the Lord. But before we get into it tonight, why don't we just take a moment to pray? Because as Christians, that's what we do, right? We pray. So let's bow our heads together. And let's just welcome the Holy Spirit in this place. Father, I am not qualified to preach this message tonight, but your Holy Spirit is. And last I checked, I'm filled with this spirit, with your spirit, God. So Lord, use my lips, Lord God, to present this word tonight. Hide me behind the cross, Lord Jesus. Father, we know that you are awesome and that you are already in this place tonight. You deserve all the glory, all the honor. In Jesus' mighty name I pray, amen and amen. You know, every morning I have this routine where I wake up, I go downstairs, and I make myself some coffee. How many coffee drinkers do we have in the house today? If you're online, you'd be like, hey, I love coffee. Listen, this one particular morning, I had one Starbucks K-cup. It was my last one. And I was so excited that I get to drink my last Starbucks K-cup. So I go downstairs and I put the little cup in the machine and I put the little handle down. You can hear the sound. It goes, right? It closes down and then you hit the button and beep, right? So as I am preparing to drink this amazing coffee, because a part of my routine is I go off and do other things as well, I can smell the coffee. I can hear the coffee brewing. But there was one key detail that I forgot to do. I didn't put the mug underneath the coffee. So what happens is that there's this tray underneath the K-cup machine that catches all the liquid. Just so you know, it holds 10 ounces, because that's how many ounces I wanted to drink that morning. And it was my last Starbucks K-cup. That's such a sad story. But Matt, why would you share this story with me today? I wanted to hear something happy. Here's why. Because that K-cup is a representation of what can happen in our lives. See, that machine could represent the church. That K-cup could represent God. And that mug represents your life. See, there are often times where God is pouring out something special in the house. But if we are not available, if we're not in a position to receive, then we can miss out on what God has for us specifically. My prayer for you tonight is that you open up your heart, you open up your mind, and you open up your spirit to receive what God has for your life today. Be in a position to receive. This is why we come to church. Many years ago, my dad, who's sitting right here on the second row, had a video camera. Now, this was the old school VHS video cameras, the one that you had to like prop up on your shoulder, you know what I mean? And it weighed about 100 pounds. I think I was 11 years old at the time. And my dad's like, hey, can you run this camera for me? And I said, sure, I can run the camera. He's like, do you know how to work it? I said, absolutely, Dad, I'm 11. So as he gives me this camera, they're doing a ministry event and there are playing with the kids and there are clowns and there's bounce houses and balloon animals and you know, we're sharing the gospel, and I'm filming the entire event. 2 hours later, we go back to watch the video, and we made a discovery. that the videotape was blank. Do you know what happened? This 11-year-old forgot to hit record. I forgot to hit record. So why do I also share this story with you? It's because sometimes we could be in the moment at church and in these moments with God, but may not capture what he's actually trying to do. We need to be able not just to be in the moment, but to capture the moment and to live it practically in our day-to-day lives. The message I want to preach to you tonight, it's called Praise Over Problems. Praise Over Problems. Psalms 34, verses 1 through 3. It says, I will exalt the Lord at all times, and his praise will always be where? On my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's amazing that it didn't say that his praise will be on my lips sometimes. His praise will be on my lips when I feel like it. His praise will be on my lips when I'm going through it. No, it says his praise will be on my lips when? At all times. As believers and as Christians, I believe that we need to put this into practice, and at any given time, even during a global pandemic, his praise will continually be on our lips. Listen, if we made it this far in 2020, and we're getting ready to go into 2021, there's a graduating season that's getting ready to happen. I feel like we need a diploma or something, right? Can I get an amen? Can I get a witness in the house today? We need like some sort of certificate or something, or a stimulus check, whatever, to come by to get us through the 2021, because I really believe that this is going to be an amazing year. But listen, I want to tell you this. Praise is a choice. David in this psalm said, I will bless the Lord at all times, but it is a choice. We sing a song here at this church. It's called Yes, I Will. And there was a line specifically in that song. It says, I choose to praise. Praise isn't something that comes naturally. I'm going to be honest with you. And just as we were growing up as kids, we went through growing pains. I want to kind of play off of that. There are praising pains. Oh, because it is painful to praise sometimes, especially when you're going through it. But praise is a choice. We need to get to a point where we turn our complaining into praising. I heard one pastor say it one time. He said it like this, that your tongue is a prison to complaint. But we ourselves need to break free from the prison, break free from the praising pains, and praise the Lord. Secondly, praise is a lifestyle. Praise is a lifestyle. Praise isn't just when you come to church, you clap your hands, you say amen, you air high five your neighbor, you social distance as you walk out the door. That's not praise. That's church. But praise is something when you do on your own, in your own time. One of my favorite places to praise is my car. Why? Because I can't sing and nobody can hear me. Pretty simple. It's just as simple as that. I turn the music up as loud as it can, and I'm screaming in the background with Kim Walker Smith trying to hit the high notes with her. But I'm not doing it for her. I'm doing it for Jesus. There is just something special when we praise the Lord. There's something special when we lift our voices out, when we clap our hands, when we are alone with the Lord. God is a God who wants for us to seek him individually. He wants us to worship him in spirit and in truth. And in fact, the Bible says that he inhabits the praises of his people. And praise is a sweet incense in his nostrils. My wife and I, back in June, we had COVID-19, and I shared this in the back. One of the things that was terrible about COVID is that you lost your sense of taste and smell. Listen, I didn't know how bad I needed my smell until I lost it. Because it's something so natural, right? It's something that you never even think about. I mean, for all I know, I could have been stinking the whole day and not even know it because I didn't have my taste and smell. But listen, if it's a sweet aroma in God's nostrils when we praise, that means that he wants us to praise. He wants for that aroma, that incense, to be raised up so that he can take it in. And he inhabits the praise. That means he literally comes down and he is there dwelling among our praise. Isn't it amazing that when we praise, we capture the attention of an almighty God? Isn't it amazing when we praise, he listens to what we're doing? We capture the attention of the Creator when we praise. Praise is a lifestyle. Thirdly, praise is personal. It draws us closer to the Creator. It draws us closer to who He is. It deepens our understanding when we praise the Lord. There used to be a saying back in the day called PTL, praise the Lord. I think we need to bring that back, but rather it's better than LOL, right? Praise the Lord. Praise is personal. And David understood that. That's why he said his praise will be on my lips at all times. I want to draw our attention now to Acts 16, verses 16 through 40. I'm going to read a lot of verses today, and I'm not going to apologize because I learned that from Pastor Tyson. He said along the way, I'll learn a couple things from him. He said, never apologize for reading the Bible. So there you go. You can thank him later. Verse 16, it says, one day, as we were going to the place of prayer, we were met with a slave girl who had a spirit that enabled her to foretell the future. She earned a lot of money for her masters by foretelling futures. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God, and they have come to tell us how to be saved." It sounds pretty nice. I mean, it's a demon-possessed girl, though, taunting these men of God who are just on their way to pray. So they're on their way to pray. They're doing the right thing. They're doing the godly thing, right? They're on the way to pray, but then they're attacked by this demon girl? Sounds like everyday life to me. Just when you think that things are going your way, things are going right, because you're praising the Lord, boom, something happens. But we can't fall when those things happen. Do you know what that means? We have to praise even louder. When those things begin to disrupt us, we disrupt it with our praise. Verse 18, it says, this went on day after day until Paul got so exasperated, some other translations say fed up, that he turned and said to the demon within her, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And instantly it left her. You know, I wonder what the church of Jesus Christ today would look like if we got so fed up with sin. If we got so fed up to the point where we said, enough is enough. We've been taunted too much. Enough is enough. And he cast out the demon out of this young girl. If the church could only stand up against, you know, these things that are coming against righteousness, these things that are coming against truth, these things that are coming against our morals as believers. If the church could just get so fed up, I believe that we would see revival break out. But it's up to the church of Jesus Christ to stand up and say, I am fed up. It wasn't until he was fed up that this demon girl was to leave them alone. Verse 19, it says, her master's hopes of wealth were now shattered. So they grabbed Paul and grabbed Silas and dragged them before the authorities at the marketplace. The whole city is in an uproar because of these Jews, they shouted to the city officials. They are teaching customs that are illegal for Romans to practice. A mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the officials ordered for them to be stripped and beaten with wooden rods. They were severely beaten. So not really beaten, they were severely beaten. And then they were thrown into prison. The jailer, who was ordered to make sure they didn't escape, so the jailer put them into the inner dungeon and clamped their feet into the stocks. Wow. Paul and Silas, on their way to pray, on the way to do the godly thing, come across this demon-possessed girl, was so fed up that they cast her out. They cast the spirit out of this girl. And next thing you know, they're thrown in prison. You know, honestly, if this was me, the last thing that I would want to do is praise the Lord. It's like, Lord, here am I, your servant. Here am I doing your work. Here am I just proclaiming the gospel on my way to pray. And now I'm beaten, severely beaten, stripped. I'm naked. I'm embarrassed. I'm shackled. I'm chained. And I'm thrown in prison. But did that stop Paul and Silas? Absolutely not. Look at verse 25. It says, around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. So my question to you today, church, did they ever make it to the place of prayer? Yes, they did. Was the place of prayer the place that they intended? Absolutely not. But they still made it to the place of prayer. Listen, when you're going through something, when you're experiencing something traumatic, you're going through a situation, it's in that moment that you could turn that situation into an altar and praise the Lord. We have to get into the habit of praising. Praise has to become our lifestyle. It is a choice. But they were beaten. But they were stripped. They were in shackles and chains, and they were handcuffed against the wall. Like, they could have just done the opposite. They could have complained. How many times do we find ourselves complaining rather than praising? How many times do we find ourselves questioning rather than asking and believing in God? How many times do we find ourselves just being totally, like we feel like we're totally ignored by the Lord? But it's in those moments we gotta praise. It's in those moments where we have to break through and praise. Now I wonder, and I'm gonna ask TJ to help me out here in this part. It says that they were praying and singing hymns to God. I imagine that the praise and the hymns that they were singing sounded something like this.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
And if you know it, you can sing it with us.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Even though they were in pain,
hallelujah.
Even though they were stripped and they were naked,
hallelujah.
Even though they were chained up to a wall with shackles on their feet,
hallelujah.
Nothing could take away their hallelujah. They felt like all hope was lost.
Hallelujah.
They made a conscious decision to praise.
Hallelujah.
They let their praise speak louder than their circumstance.
Hallelujah.
And God responded.
Lord, we praise you.
God intervened in that situation.
Lord, we praise you.
And God was faithful to deliver them.
Lord, we pray.
And whatever you're going through today,
Lord, we pray.
I encourage you to praise.
Ooh.
So that you too can find
Lord,
a way to
praise
break through.
You.
That you too can find a way to just to praise through the pain.
Lord, we praise you.
And turn that complaining into praising.
Lord, we pray.
The moment is now.
Lord, we praise
you. Verse 26, it says, suddenly, I love that word, suddenly, there was a massive earthquake and the prison was shaken to its foundations and the doors immediately flew open and the chains from every prisoner fell off. I'm going to read that again. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake and the prison was shaken to its foundations and all the walls flew immediately open and the chains of every prisoner fell off. There is something supernatural when we begin to praise the Lord. There is something supernatural when we use our own mouth, we use our own tongue, we use our own ability to praise the Lord. There is something that's in the inside that needs to come out, and it's that praise that God put in us to praise His name. There is a worshiper inside of all of us. It says the chains were broken, the foundations were shooken. The doors flew immediately open. Listen, there is freedom when we praise the Lord. There is freedom when we call upon the name of the Lord. Verse 27, the jailer woke up to see that the prison doors were wide open. He assumed that the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword to kill himself. But why? Why would the jailer try to kill himself? Because it would be easier for him to kill himself for what would happen to him if the prisoners escaped. He said, I'd rather die than to go through the consequences of having these prisoners escape. Verse 28, but Paul shouted, stop, do not kill yourself. We are here. Listen, this shows me that praising God is not just for yourself, but it is for someone else as well. We teach people with the examples of our praising. Whenever we're going through something, people see how we react to it, encourages them to praise. Verse 29, we see that the jailer called for lights. He ran to the dungeon, fell down, and trembled before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out, asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? So, well, hold on. Let's rewind a little bit. So you're telling me that Paul and Silas are on their way to pray, right, Pastor Tyson? You know the word better than I do. They're on their way to pray. They're going to the praising place. And all of a sudden, they encounter this demon-possessed girl. They did the godly thing and cast the devil out of her and were thrown in prison, but the prison became a place of prayer. And though they were going through this prison, they encountered somebody who was going through even deeper prison, because he was the jailer. He lived there. He inhabited the prison, if you know what I mean, and was able to be saved. You know, God allows certain things to happen in your life. But I learned a long time ago that sometimes it isn't just for you, but it's for the person that's beside you. It's for the person to see your testimony. It's for the person to see, how do you react? How does a believer in Jesus Christ, the God who sits on the throne, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, let's see how this believer reacts to what's going on. The Bible even says that they overcame by what? The blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Jesus even says that we will go through trials and tribulations, but to be what? Of good cheer, because he has overcome the world. So why do we complain? So why do we bicker? Why do we fight? For Jesus has conquered it all. All we need to do is put a praise in our mouth and a praise in our spirit, and shout out to God with a voice of triumph, because he is worthy of our praises. And if you feel me, let me get about 3 seconds of praise in this place. Hallelujah. Verse 31, they replied, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Not only you, but everyone in your household. Not only you, but you and your household. Listen, as the story continues, we see that Paul and Silas spent time with the jailer and his family, and they were all saved. They were all saved. But look, a couple years ago, my family and I, we were going on a trip, and we were going on an airplane. And it was storming. It was bad out. When I mean bad, I mean it was bad. Like, they should have probably stopped the plane from flying type of bad. But here's the thing. They could see something that I could not. And when we took off and we flew up into the air, I was able to see the thing that I couldn't see. That there was a sunshine after the clouds. See, the storm only hovered about this far, but if you can get past that storm, it was a brand new day. Listen, church, if we could only get past this moment right here, if we could only get past this pain right here, if we could only get past trying to get Piedmont Natural Gas to plug in a meter at the building, if we could only get past this circumstance, this situation, this problem, this moment, there is a brand new day on the other side. We only have to get past that moment to be able to see what God has in store for us. Is this resonating with anybody? I just need to know. Hallelujah. Listen, There are five things that happen when we praise. Number one, when we praise, it causes a shift. It causes a shift in your moment. It causes a shift in your reality. It causes a shift in your day. Remember, Paul and Silas, they were fed up. They were fed up and they chose to praise. And they cast out that demon girl. Secondly, praise changes your day. As it said, and as we sang earlier, at midnight, they began to praise. When you begin to praise, it is a brand new day. If your day has been going horrible, I encourage you to praise. If your day's been going like none other, I encourage you to praise. If your day has just been down and out, I encourage you to praise. Number three, praise causes interruption. When you begin to praise, when you make a conscious decision to use your own mouth, your own lips, and bless the Lord, like David said, at all times, it causes interruption. And the walls begin to shake and the chains begin to break free. Listen, the bondage that we feel sometimes when we're in prison, if we can only praise, it will be shaken. It will be broken and it will fall. Number four, praise causes an illumination. Remember that when the jailer heard that the chains broke and the doors flung open, he was getting ready to draw a sword and kill himself. But Paul and Silas said, we are here, don't do that. And he called for the lights to be turned on. We have to learn to praise from a dark place. Listen, we all go through darkness. We all experience darkness on a day-to-day basis. Why? Because we live in a dark and fallen world. Oh, but Jesus, he is the light of the world. He is the light that lives in me. I'm gonna let my little light shine. Hallelujah. And I will bring praise to a dark place. I will illuminate a space with my praise. Let me tell you something. We are living in a society nowadays where Keith Collins, I'm gonna steal his quote. I love the guy. He said, we're living in an age where sin is not only permitted, but it's promoted. Listen, they could take God out of the Pledge of Allegiance. They could take God out of our schools. They could take God out of the government, but they will never be able to take praise out of my mouth. They will never be able to take God out of my mouth, because out of this mouth, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise will continually be in my mouth. Number five, praise causes others to join in. It confirms the word, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Can we exalt the name of the Lord right now together corporately? Jesus, we honor you. We worship you. You are welcome in this place. Hallelujah. And I'm gonna bring it home right here. Because I feel like some of you are hearing me, but you're not really believing me. Matt, I'm too far gone. Matt, you don't understand. I sinned last night. Matt, I've fallen short of the glory of God. I don't understand how God could love a sinner like me. And I'm gonna bring it home with a story. Years ago, my dad wanted a grandfather clock. And I saw this clock on the side of the road like trash. But I want to tell you that one man's trash is another man's treasure. My dad wanted a grandfather clock, and me, because I'm a good-looking son, and I'm, hey, Dad, I found this clock for you. And I put it in the back of my pickup truck, and I take it home. But I got to, let me describe the clock to you. This was not your typical clock. This clock was dirty. It was broken. It was in pieces. It had shattered glass. It had cockroaches. I mean, the works. It was trash. Really. It was. But my dad wanted a grandfather clock. I was a Bible school student. I had no money. I only had faith. That's it. So I take this clock and I stick it in the back of my truck and I take it to my parents' living room and I lay it down. When my dad comes out, he sees the clock. He didn't see the broken glass. He didn't see the broken pieces. He didn't see the missing pieces. You know what he saw? He saw the value that was in the clock. Slowly but surely, he began to buy the pieces of this clock that were missing. He began to put the pieces of this broken clock together. It had shattered glass. He bought new glass. It smelled. He rubbed it down with some oil. It had missing some chipped wood. He fixed the chipped wood. It had some missing parts. He put the missing parts in it. He restored this clock because he didn't see it as trash. He saw the value that was in the clock. Let me tell you something, church. Likewise, when I was a dirty, rusty old sinner, lost in the world, strung out on drugs and alcohol and gang, listen, God didn't see me as trash. He saw me as treasure. He saw the value that I could become. And in the likeliness of that, he sees your value. He sees what you can become. He sees who you are. He doesn't see the identity of a broken, nasty-looking person. He sees a soul that needs restoration, and he sees the value in your life. He sees your value. And like my dad put that clock back together, which, by the way, it's working today, and it tells time, and it's loud and obnoxious because it's a grandfather clock. Oh, and it makes some noise. But listen, sometimes as a brand new believer, we make some loud, obnoxious noise because we can't contain ourselves. Because I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Hallelujah. So maybe if you could stand to your feet, I'm going to close out right here. Maybe you feel like you're that clock that has lost its value. Maybe you've been called trash. Maybe you've been left out and abandoned on the side of the road. And because of that, you don't have a reason to praise. Tonight, I want to introduce you to my Savior. His name is Jesus Christ, who the one who can take your broken pieces of your life and make something beautiful out of it. This is your opportunity. Maybe you've been walking around like you have no value, and you want to encounter Jesus today. I just encourage you to do one thing. I just want you to raise your hand. If you need an encounter with God today, just raise your hand. Thank you, Jesus. Secondly, the band's getting ready to play this song. And if you need a moment to praise, need a moment just to be alone with your Father, the altar is open. I encourage you just to get out of your seat and come spend some moments with the Lord and praise his name, because he is worthy of our praise. And whenever you go through something, church, remember, we need to turn our complaining to praising. We need to turn our current situation around and use it for the glory of God and praise the name of the Lord. Vision Church, I love you. Thank you for this opportunity. The altars are open. Let's praise his name in 2021. Hallelujah.
Hey, if you enjoyed today's podcast, click that subscribe button, share this podcast on social, or even take a screenshot from your story and tag us. We'd love to hear how the Lord is using this podcast to bless your life. You can send an email to info@visionchurch.com, or you can DM us on social with a story of how God is moving in your world. Also, we'd like to thank those who invest in our ministry financially. It's because of your sacrifice that we are able to publish this every week. If you would like to join in giving to our ministry, you can click the link in the description or visit visionchurch.com and click the Give tab. Thanks again for listening. God bless.